It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, February 11th, 2011. I'm John Moe. President Obama announced a plan to connect 98% of the country to 4G wireless networks and double the available wireless spectrum. The National Wireless Initiative will be part of the budget he'll present next week. On Thursday, the president compared the U.S. to South Korea, which has over 90% broadband penetration.
When it comes to high-speed internet, the lights are still off in one-third of our households. One out of every three households in America don't have that same access. For millions of Americans, the railway hasn't showed up yet. For our families and our businesses, high-speed wireless service, that's the next train station. It's the next off-ramp.
The plan calls for auctioning unused spectrum that has been stockpiled by broadcasters and government agencies. Those groups would get a cut of the profits from the auctions. The White House says $10 billion would be left over to put toward the deficit. The computer networks of several big oil companies have been hacked, according to security company McAfee. Dmitry Alperovich is with McAfee. He says there were multiple attackers, all in Beijing, all working 9 to 5 hours. And he says the style of attack wasn't all that complex.
They were able to compromise public-facing websites of these companies and then reach inside the organization and go after email archives and sensitive document stores. They also sent emails to executives to essentially get them to click on a malicious attachment that would compromise their machine. It was not an extremely sophisticated attack, yet it was spectacularly successful, and it lasted for at least 2 years and possibly as many as four.
How could this go on for 2 years and nobody noticed?
Well, companies started noticing this a year ago, but the attacks continued, and in fact, they continue to this day. So these attackers are very dedicated in going after this information. I should also mention that they're also going after operational details of how these oil and gas fields are being operated, information on what are known as SCADA systems, these industrial control systems that operate the pumps at these fields. This was purely espionage. They were very interested in these documents. These documents, you can imagine, have tremendous value to competitors, particularly the bidding information on new oil discoveries. That's incredibly sensitive stuff that could be worth billions of dollars.
What does this mean for me as a regular person in the United States not affiliated with an oil company?
The biggest news in this event is just how vulnerable this critical infrastructure really is. You don't need super sophisticated attack to penetrate them and really steal the most sensitive information that they have. That's the most troubling discovery in all of this.
So it's not so much a case of brilliant hackers as it is corporations slacking off on security. Internet security expert Anoop Ghosh says the problem is these companies are reactive instead of proactive.
We're caught in this cycle of patching our software, remediating infected machines, and then wash, rinse, repeat.
What might be the repercussions for an average citizen?
There were two studies that came out this week, one by Panda Security, that stated 50% of all machines scanned around the globe in January were infected. Another came out of a European agency that showed 33% of EU internet users are infected with the virus, in spite of 84% of them having antivirus, anti-spam, or a firewall. So what we're seeing really is if the World Health Organization was in charge of cybersecurity, they would call our current state of cyber affairs a global pandemic. I think there's a clear clarion call to the security industry that it's time to break this cycle of wash, rinse, repeat security and actually begin to innovate out there.
Read more about these attacks at marketplacetech.org. In a decision that will not come back to haunt us whatsoever, European scientists are building a second internet for robots. Robo-Earth, which fortunately is not a scary name evocative of science fiction movies, lets robots upload what they've learned about tasks they've done and get help from other robots for new tasks. Sweeping, vacuuming, consigning all humans to the carbon mines. It's a communications platform and a database, perfect for scheme hatching. The designers of Robo-Earth, a name that makes me cry, say that modern state-of-the-art robots run on lots of different systems, so they lack a common way to communicate. This apparently is seen as a problem and not a safety measure. In a related story, humanity's only hope is some time traveler from the future showing up to stop this before it's too late. This is Marketplace Tech Report. Welcome, robot overlords. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.